Genesis chapter 14. In this passage, there's nine kings who are battling. There's five on one side and four on the other side. The five kings who were united in one coalition, they were from the plains of Jordan, the Bible says, which included many cities around where we'd see the Dead Sea today. And then there was four kings from the east, and they were more powerful, but they weren't there. They were in their own land, and they had held these other five cities and their kings under tribute for 12 years, the Bible says. So 12 years they had been paying them money to allow them to stay in their cities. But on the 13th year, they decided, those five kings, were not paying anymore. And so the four kings said, "Yes, you are." And they gathered an army, and they headed to the plains of Jordan. And in actuality, as far as we know, according to the Word of God and history, Genesis chapter 14 records the first ever battle between men. And as they drew swords and they began to fight, and the four kings, they whipped the five kings. And they showed themselves to be mightier, and they took from the cities all of the possessions they had, and the people, they took them from the city and made them slaves and servants. Well, one of the people that were in these cities, and one of the kings, was the king of Sodom. And in that city was Lot and his family. Now, Lot was Abraham's, and most of you have heard Abraham, I'm sure. That was Abraham's nephew. Lot and his wife and his children were taken captive. When Abraham learned of this, he got all the people that were with him, which totaled 318, which was not a lot, going against all these armies. And he took his 318 men, and he went at night immediately when he heard about it, chased them down. He divided his men into smaller groups, and they attacked these four kings, these mighty kings. And God gave them an unbelievable victory. And Abraham and his men were able to defeat these four kings and these four armies. And Abraham returns home. When he returns home is where we want to start reading. He comes back, and if you look with me in Genesis 14 and verse number 17, we have this. "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer." You know he had liked to have cheese, right? "And of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shavah, which is the king's dale." So Abraham comes back. So the king of Sodom, everyone had been delivered by Abraham and his men. They had all the stuff and all the people back with them. He goes out to meet them. We're going to skip verses 18 down to verse 21. It says there, "And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me." And he lists those different groups and cities. But Abram, when he comes to the king of Sodom says, all right, you know, I don't know the exact conversation. I don't know what we have in the Word of God. I'm sure that he was thankful that what Abram had done. And he offers him, and he says, you can keep all the stuff. All the possessions that you got back from the city of Sodom and the other four cities, you can have it. Just send the people back to the cities. And Abram's response was this: I don't want anything that you're offering me. He said, I won't take any of this stuff. And that's the message I just want to share tonight. I know it sounds a little odd, but what's that have to do with the school? Well, give me just a second. I'm very thankful for our country. I'm very thankful for the liberties and the freedoms that we still have. I'm thankful for the economy that we still live in. I'm thankful for the giving spirit of the American people. There's all kinds of things that I could stop and praise the Lord for living in this nation. It has its issues, and it seems to be growing more and more. But the fact is this: I'm still thankful to live in this country, and I pray for our leaders. But when it comes to the education of our children, they can keep their stuff. When it comes to the education and the raising of children, It does not take a state to raise children. It is not the community's job to raise children. It is the parents' responsibility. And like Abram, I would be just as content for them to keep all their stuff. And let us consider why. Just a couple things from this passage of Scripture. Here's why I make such a bold statement. Because number one, I want you to note what the true battle is all about. The true battle. Verse number 21. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." Make no mistake about it. The devil don't care about the stuff of this world. But he does care about the souls of this world. The devil wants to destroy our children. The devil wants to take and put them into captivity. The flesh and the world are our greatest enemies. And the first and foremost motivation of our school is to see souls get saved. And that young people are pointed to the Lord. And that everybody that walks through these doors at this school, and parents, it is my prayer that everyone knows that one day heaven will be their home. Because God wants everyone to know that heaven will be your home. And that's not just my opinion. 1 John 5 says, "These things have I written unto you," right here, "that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." God wants, He gave us this book so that we can know that we're going to heaven. He wants us to know this. The Bible says He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every soul to be saved. I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of stats, but heaven, according to the book of Revelation, was built 1,500 square miles high and wide and long, which means this, that you could fit everyone who's ever had life on this earth in heaven. God made heaven for everyone. You say, well, there is a place called hell, and the Bible says who hell was made for. The Bible says that the Lord made hell for the devil and his angels. It's not God's desire that anyone go to hell. And make no mistake, the reason why I don't need their stuff in training our children is because the true battle is about this. It's a battle of souls. The lives of people. And I'm not battling it for Travis Burke, and I'm not trying to win souls for me. I'm not trying to win souls for our church. God wants to see every soul go to heaven. And that's what the true battle is all about. That's why the king of Sodom says, "You can keep the stuff, just give me the persons." He wanted the people. So I encourage you, number one, to understand we do this because, number one, the true battle. Number two, I want you to see in this passage a true backbone. A true backbone. Verse 22 and 23, Abram takes a strong stand. Abram shows some character. Some integrity here. Look at his response. And by the way, had he taken all the stuff from those five cities, he was already wealthy. He would have been extremely wealthy. I mean, I don't know what the price tag was on those five cities, but can you imagine? You know, someone offered you, you know, take all the wealth, all the possessions that are in Milford, Goshen, Blue Ash, Montgomery, I don't care what five, you can pick any five you want. That's a lot. But Abram said, "I don't want it. It's not for me." And look why he said this. There in verse number 22, it says, "And Abram said to the king of Sodom, number one, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God." So what is that? It means this, he surrendered to the Lord. He'd already determined, and we'll talk about it here in just a second, but he'd already determined that God gets everything. He'd already determined that my life is not about stuff and possessions. I just want to please not you, King of Sodom, but I'm here to please the King of Kings. You see, there were nine kings that were fighting this battle, but this one chapter is like a little cameo of all of time because of all these kings rising up to power, fighting each other, but in the end, there's only one king, and this is the King Melchizedek, the King of Salem, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and that's how it all ends one day. And Abraham said, I've already given myself to the king. I've already surrendered to, you're not the most high authority, king of Sodom. I have surrendered, and this is a new name for God in the book of Genesis here. I have already surrendered to the most high God. There's none like him. He total surrendered his life. And then you see his backbone in surrender, but also in satisfaction. He said, I don't need your things. Look what it says there in verse 22. I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the most high God. Now look what it says. The possessor of heaven and earth. What was Abraham saying? He said, I don't need this stuff. I've already surrendered myself to the God who owns everything. This stuff is nothing compared to all that my God has in his power. And we want our young people to understand that, number one, they need to know they're going to heaven. We want to introduce them to God and a true science and a true history and all these things. And then we want them to understand what it is to have a true backbone. And what that is, and it's going to take a backbone if you're going to be surrendered to God. If you're going to surrender yourself and say, God, all I have is yours. And learn to be satisfied, satisfaction, that I don't need the things of this world. My God has more than anything this world can offer. And I'm just going to let God take care of me. But then also a surety. A surety. He said there in verse 23 that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine. And look what he said, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Now, what's Abram saying? I believe Abram knew he was going to be a wealthy man, he knew he was going to have a lot. He didn't want the king of Sodom to one day say, I did that. He didn't want to even take a thread from a robe. Even in today's world, not even a shoelace, right? He said, because I don't want in no way for you to ever point and say, see that man, see his blessings, see his life, see his joy, see his peace, see all these things that he is. He said, you'll never have a reason to say, I did that. But he said, there is one who will get all the glory. It's his God who's the possessor of heaven and earth. And our life should all be about this, that we should know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. I am not preaching tonight that if you live for the Lord, you're going to be a billionaire. All right? That's not in the Bible. I hope that didn't bust your bubble. All right? I wish it was in the Bible. That would be awesome. Right? But it's not in the Bible. All right? But what the Bible does say is that my God will supply all your need. And that my God will always take care of his children. And that my God will always leave his children with something far greater than $1 million in the bank. It's called peace, joy, and the knowledge that God is my God and my Father, and he's always with me, and one day I'm going to spend eternity with him, and whatever I go through in this world, it will be worth it all when I see Jesus. It's going to take a backbone. You see this true backbone in Abraham's life to speak to the king of Sodom of his surrender and a satisfaction and a surety. I want our kids to learn this secret. I want every student in our school to know this secret. To parents who are homeschooling their children, make sure your children know this, that life is not about who can get the most toys. Life is not about who has the biggest bank account when they die, because no one's ever taken a penny with them. Brother Sturm can speak more of this than I can. He was a mortician. Who wants to be a mortician? Brother Sturm does, right? He loves it. Yeah. But anyways, guarantee this, nobody has ever taken a penny with them. When you leave this earth, all the things of the world stay here. Only thing that's going to matter is what you did with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the true battle on a true backbone, but I want you to see a true blessing. A true blessing. I scratched my head as I looked at this and said, what made Abraham so bold? How was he able to turn down all of this stuff? And there was a lot of it. And all of this money. How was he able to do that? And the reason is verse 18 and 19. Notice in verse number 17, the king of Sodom comes out to meet him. Now, he wasn't there yet, but he was heading Abram's way. God knew the temptation that Abram was going to face. So God, Melchizedek, went to Abram. Verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." Sound familiar? Abram, those words are on his tongue. Amen. "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he, Abram, gave him tithes of all. He met the real king. He spent some time with the King of Kings. And the King of Kings reminded Abraham who his God was, and how mighty his God was, and how wealthy his God was, and how powerful his God was. And by the time they got done fellowshipping, by the way, using again the bread and wine, a picture in the New Testament of the death, burial, and the death of Christ and his blood that was shed. And you say, well, that was the gospel. Read the book of Galatians. Abraham believed the gospel. That's what it says. The gospel. Say, when did Abraham hear the gospel? Maybe. As he's bringing the bread and wine, reminding him how great that God is, Abraham does no other thing but to just worship and say, "God, I am yours." He gives him a tithe of all that he has, and he surrenders to the Lord. And then the king of Sodom walks up. And Abraham said, "I don't need any of this. I just spent some time with the King of Kings." The reason we have our school is that we understand what the true battle is all about, to teach them to have a true backbone. And if we can do anything for you parents and for the students and for us as staff, understand this, that if you'll make an effort to spend time every day with the King of Kings, the less attractive the world's going to be. And it's easier to say no. Young people, a lot of young people, unfortunately, they grow up in good Christian homes and good Christian schools, and they walk away. Let me tell you why. They've not been spending time with the King of Kings. Because if you spend time with the King of Kings, you know how great he is and how much of all that stuff that's out there, I don't need it. I found more through the King of Kings than all the world can offer me. That's what we do, what we do. May that be our burden and our prayer and our goal this year.